The Holy Gospel is from Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting with the 21st verse. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. How does Jesus prepare his followers for his death? By telling them the cold, hard truth. Jesus had accepted it. Jesus had prepared to pick up the cross that he's about to carry. Now it's time for the disciples to do the same. Peter says what any of us would say in his position. He dives into the stages of grief, denial, anger, depression, bargaining. "God forbid it," Peter says. "Say it isn't true." The disciples are about to go through it over and over again, like waves crashing upon them. Relentless, persistent grief. The death of the Messiah is imminent. It's unavoidable. But Peter says, "No, Jesus, don't die. Don't leave us." I can understand his protest, his resistance to this idea, of course. What I don't quite understand is Jesus' harsh response here. "Get behind me, Satan." It's like he's saying that Peter has become this roadblock in the process toward his death. Actually, what Jesus says is, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a scandalon, a scandal." Jesus says, "You are offensive to me." Instead of Peter, the rock on whom the church is built, Peter is the guy who puts his foot in his mouth, who puts his own desires and needs to the forefront. If Jesus had ever a doubt as to his purpose, that time has passed. Clarity has settled in. His journey to the cross is imminent. There's no denying it. Well, until he's actually denied. Without even realizing, Peter becomes, for a short time, a roadblock to the kingdom work that Jesus is up to. Peter becomes a scandalous roadblock, a speed bump in the road to Golgotha. While we may side with Peter, realizing just how human of a response this is, Jesus is making an example out of Peter. He's saying, "Are you on board or not? Are you with me or are you against me? If you're with me, then act like it. Talk like it. Be it." This leads me to wonder how you and I could possibly also be roadblocks to Jesus' kingdom. Years ago, I heard the most unusual prayer. Lord, help me to get out of your way. Help me get out of your way. How could I possibly get in God's way? That's giving a lot of credit to we humans, if we even consider that what we do or don't do could get in God's way. But isn't that what we do sometimes? Sometimes we get in God's way because we can't see the whole picture, but we act like we do. We see only a small snapshot of what God has in mind, an incomplete picture, like a puzzle with several pieces missing, nowhere to be found. And instead of trusting that God has a broader view, we may want all the details, all the control, when that's really not our job. But that's the Lord's. Sometimes we get in God's way because we think we know how to fix the situation. And yes, there are times when we need to act. But sometimes, and maybe it's just me, but I'm in a hurry. I feel like I'm in a hurry to fix what's broken without first pausing to ask, where is the Holy Spirit in this situation? Ask ourselves, have we let go of our egos and our expectations to discern the will of God? Sometimes we can get in the way of God and God's plans because we have the best of intentions, but intentions are not enough. It's easy to be selfish, especially when Jesus is saying he's going right to the cross and he's not looking back. It's easy to say it's not true. We want Jesus to stay. The disciples do too. We want him to stay safe, to quit making so many waves, Jesus, to preserve his life and theirs. And ours. Sometimes we can get in God's way because we haven't asked or listened to the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we haven't trusted that the Lord's will is actually in action. Peter's response is clouded with his own stuff. Thoughts and fears. The shock of having Jesus' impending torturous death named out loud. It's just too much for him. Peter could not hear the truth of what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus wanted to be crucified, but that he said it must happen. It had to happen. So Jesus went willingly. There was no avoiding it. As to those who follow this Jesus, we too have been asked to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. What does that mean? There are days when the need in this world seems so great. The world seems like a crowd that is shouting, "Crucify him," while simultaneously begging for God's mercy. That's the thing about crosses. We usually don't have to go looking for crosses to bear because crosses find us. Life will give each of us plenty of opportunities to bear witness or to remain silent, to allow hatred and fear to win or to show people exactly what the love of God looks like in action. Our job as Christians doesn't need to involve pointing out all the brokenness in this world. That's already quite evident. Crosses are everywhere. But our job as those who pick up our crosses daily to follow Christ is to whisper into this ear, the ear of the world, whether it is ready for something more, something real, something true, and something brave, Something that's brave enough to go all the way with Jesus to the cross. That's the whisper in your ear and in mine today. Our Lord invites us each and every day to stop being a speed bump in the path, but to simply pick up our cross and to follow.